Remarks of the President, Havre, Montana, 30 September 1952.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am given the opportunity to present our state candidates who are with the President on the train. First, I would like to present our candidate for Lieutenant Governor, the Honorable Jack Toole from Shelby. Jack Toole.
Howdy.
Next, our well-known Attorney General and candidate for re-election, Arnold H. Olson. Arnold Olson.
Hi, all.
Mary, you better come here. Next, our candidate here for the... let's get Mary right here. We've got our beautiful Mary with us today. Our candidate for public instruction, Miss Mary Condon. Move it down, come in another way. Our candidate for Congress in this, the 1st Congressional District, the Honorable Willard Frazier from Billings. Willard.
Oh, my fellow countrymen.
And our people's governor, the Honorable John W. Bonner, candidate for re-election. Governor John.
All right, boss.
We also have our distinguished senior senator, a man who has made such a record on our behalf, and I want to present Senator James E. Murray.
Yay!
Then the man who is to be down there with Senator Jim helping him, our representative from the 1st District, and the next senator from Montana, the Honorable Mike Mansfield, who will himself present the president. Senator Mike Mansfield.
My fellow Montanans, it is a great privilege and a high honor for me to present to you the President of the United States.
You did it just as well as the Marine Band. That's the highest compliment I can pay you. I'm certainly enjoying this trip through the northern part of Montana. I don't think I've had such a good time since 1948. I know very well I haven't, because I have to work too hard. This is a vacation for me. I'm working at my job as the head of the Democratic Party. I'm trying to explain to all the people. When I get through, I think they'll understand that the Democratic Party is the party of the people, and that's the party they ought to stick to. Good to be back here in Havre again. The last time I was here, you were having a music festival, and I greatly enjoyed those wonderful high school bands. They tell me at the Weather Bureau that Havre is one of the coldest places in the world. But I want to say this, you've given me one of the warmest welcomes. You also gave me one of the largest majorities, better than 2-1, I believe it was, that I received in the 1948 election from the whole state of Montana. I want to say to you that you had better judgment than some of the newspapers and the pollsters. You went along with the winner. I want to thank you for that, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing, or even better, for Adlai Stevenson of Illinois. Who will be one of the country's greatest presidents, I'm sure of that. He has everything that's required for the presidency. It's just as if he'd been trained for the job. He's had government experience in the field of agriculture. He has held important jobs in national defense and foreign affairs. He has been one of the most economical, most honest, and most successful governors that any of our great states ever had. Personally, he has courage and humility, and he's always been on the side of the people. I hope you'll send Mike Mansfield to the United States Senate to work with Jim Murray. Over in this part of Montana, you haven't had the chance to vote for Mike before, but I want to assure you that he's one of the ablest men in the House of Representatives and that he's earned your vote for United States Senator. Mike Mansfield's a credit to Montana and to the whole United States. He has a record to be proud of. I don't know anyone who's worked harder for the welfare of the people of his state than he has. He is more responsible than any other man for Hungry Horse Dam, which I'm going to dedicate tomorrow, and for a lot of other great projects which are going to make Montana more prosperous and even a better state to live in than it is now. Mike's worked just as hard for projects in this part of the state as he has for projects in his own district. One of the things he's worked hardest for is a transmission line from Abbott to Shelby. You all know how that fight came out. In spite of the Republican 80th Congress and in spite of all the mossback Republicans in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, we got that line through. But Mike's done much more than represent Montana and Washington. He's represented in the United States before the whole world. Last year, I appointed him to the United States delegation to the United Nations. I never made a better choice. In the debates in Paris, he stood right up to Russia's Vyshinsky and slugged it out with him and beat down the Russian attack on the foreign policy of the United States. That debate won respect for Mike Mansfield all over the world. Mike has always known that communism is dangerous and that we had to take measures to stop it. Governor Stevenson has been the same way. Back in 1945 and 46, Governor Stevenson carried out some important missions for us in Europe. He saw what the communists were up to while he worked mightily for international cooperation. He was one of the first to warn that the Russians were becoming a threat to peace. I don't remember that the Republican Party had any such wisdom or foresight. If they did, they didn't tell me about it. Neither did the man who is now in the Republican candidate for president. After the war, while he was still the commanding general of our forces in Europe, he said that he saw no reason why Russia and the United States would not remain the closest possible friends. I'm going to quote him. "There's one thing," he said, "that guides the policy of Russia more today than that is to keep the friendship of the United States." Those are the exact words he used before a committee of the Congress in November 1945. Now, my friends, his foresight was not nearly as good as his hindsight is. You know, when I was going to school, we had an old professor who was interested in teaching us how to make up our minds and make decisions. The lesson was on the history of battles of the war between the states, and the discussion was on the Battle of Gettysburg. Some kid in the class got up and said what Lee should have done and what Meade should have done, and this old professor said, "Now, young man, that's all very fine, but any schoolboy's hindsight is worth a great deal more than all General Lee's and General Meade's foresight," and I can say the same thing about Ike. His hindsight may be extra good, but his foresight wasn't any better than anybody else's. Of course, we can all make mistakes, but the Republican candidate was then the commanding general in Europe, and he was in close contact with the Russians. His advice carried great weight, and it therefore did a great deal of harm. Perhaps if he'd given us better advice in 1945, we wouldn't have had so much trouble in waking up the country to the danger of communist imperialism in 1946, 47, and 48. It is true that we were all trying immediately after the war to find a means for living with the Russians on a peaceful basis. I don't blame the Republican candidate for his part in that, but he ought to be honest enough to admit that he made blunders same as everybody else did, and admit them frankly and freely, and also admit that he was perfectly willing to get in the bandwagon on my policy and try to meet the situation. I get very tired of all the Republican speeches and all their propaganda saying that the Republican Party's been out in front against the danger of communism. That just isn't so. They were out in front. I couldn't see them. I was right at the head of the army.